Great. I always say the same thing when I start a podcast. I'm like so sick of myself.
Consistency. That's what people want.
Yeah. 15 seasons in. Dermot Whelan, welcome to the Gut Glow podcast. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Georgie?
Welcome along to the Gut Glow podcast today. Thank you for tuning in. I'm really excited to bring this episode to you because it's full of heart and soul. If there is something that you need to forgive yourself about from your past, this is the episode for you. We also talk about Dermot's leap out of radio into starting his own business and how sometimes it can be a lack of joy, love, fun, purpose that can make us feel tired every single day and not too much work or too much stuff going on. It's a really interesting podcast. I can't wait for your feedback. And before we get into it, I just wanted to say thank you to Yoplait Gear for supporting the Gut Glow this season. At Yoplait, quality is their passion, and their commitment to health and nutrition starts with the sourcing of ingredients. Three core values, pleasure, simplicity and joy, help Yoplait deliver healthy, delicious and nutritious pots of enjoyment to their customers. So let's talk about Skyr, a great nutritious yogurt. Skyr is a creamy Icelandic recipe like Greek yogurt. It's packed full of protein, fat-free, and Yoplait Skyr has only one ingredient, milk. I love their big pots, and Skyr Natural 850 gram is available across stores nationwide. I always say, like, one of the best things about the Gut Glow is that I have made friends with so many people, and through my cancer as well. Like, what cancer has given me is friendship, and I'm so happy to call you a friend, and you've been so supportive of me over the last few years, and I'm so grateful for that.
Oh, well, look, absolutely same here. I love the fact that we've gotten to work together and gotten to hang out doing things like this and off air as well. And, you know, I have just such amazing respect for the stuff that you've been doing and the information you've been sharing with people. And I think we're on the same path, our same mission path in terms of making these kinds of conversations accessible for people, you know, and presenting it to them in a way that, you know, they can relate to and that hopefully they can weave into their lives. And that's what it's about, you know, making small little changes. Not that we're broken or that we're doing things wrong, but I think we can always open our minds to stuff, you know, and these kinds of conversations help. So yeah, thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I love your new podcast. It's so brilliant. I love the length of it. I love your guests. I love your topics. So congratulations. And I will obviously link your podcast in the show notes if anyone wants to check it out if they haven't already. But I remember where I was, you know, we remember where we were for all the big moments in our lives, but I remember where I was when I heard that you and Dave were separating. You were leaving Today FM. For you to take that leap, like after 21 years, was so huge. Tell us about that.
I guess, you know, these decisions can seem big and sudden, but it was something that I had been thinking about for a good while. And, you know, it can also, again, seem like a big drastic move and a big change. But then, as you say, I had been doing it for 21 years. You know, that's that's a good stretch at doing a very similar job for such a long time. So I guess for me, you know, for me, it became an argument between my gut and my head. That's how I frame it. You know, sometimes in our life, we can know just instinctively, intuitively, that we're ready for a change, whereas our head is telling us to stay put and stay in your lane and think about the financial implications of what you're doing and sensible things, you know. But ultimately, I think if we're in one of those places where we're not being fulfilled as much as we'd like to be, we can get a little bit cranky. And we can get a little bit bored, and we can just start to be out of sorts. And what I noticed actually was the biggest indicator was my energy levels. I found that my energy was really low, and I'm the type of person, probably very much like yourself, because I know you're such an entrepreneur, and you're always taking on these new challenges. If I'm not excited or fulfilled, my energy drops and I get very sleepy. And I began to notice that when I was driving home from work, I was almost falling asleep at the wheel. And, you know, that for me is a big indicator. When I feel like I'm aligned to what my passions are, my energy levels go with that. If I'm moving off track or maybe in a bit of a rut, my energy starts to drop. And I wonder, do any of your listeners feel the same way about those things? Or maybe you found that at stages in your life.
Oh, it's so interesting that you say that, because one day I was doing an Instagram live with Jerry and something he said blew my mind. So he said, you know, when we're tired or we're wrecked or we're exhausted, we can try to blame that on too much of something. So too much work, too much going on. But so often it's actually a lack of. We're tired because there isn't enough joy, there isn't enough purpose, there isn't enough love, connection. And when he said that, I was like, whoa, that totally reframed how I look at tiredness now and being worn out.
Yeah, I think that's beautifully put. And, you know, Jerry's so wise in for providing us with those kinds of nuggets. The difficult thing, I guess, with making a big change in your life, whether it's your job or it's your relationship, it's even harder when you don't hate that situation. You know, it's easy to storm out of a job that you hate, you know, take off your McDonald's apron and go, screw you, you know, and walk triumphantly out the door. But, you know, I loved my radio job. I love the people I work with. There are people in relationships who, you know, don't hate the person. They just know that maybe their gut is telling them, you know, to maybe a change, you know, is due. So that's what can be challenging sometimes. And that's the reason I think that some of us can stay in situations longer than maybe we ought to, or that's fulfilling for us.
And free is probably might be the wrong word for me to use here. But did you feel freer when the day that you told Dave that you wanted to leave, or the day that you finished and walked out the door?
Do you know what? That's a great question, Georgie, because I discovered that there are different phases of moving through a life change like this. And again, I think we can apply this to most areas, including relationships. So a period of radical discomfort when you feel like, okay, I don't think this is a good fit for me. What am I going to do? Then you make the decision, do you know what? I think I'm going to leave. And once you make that decision, you feel okay. You feel relieved because at least you're taking steps to address this sort of feeling of discomfort, this row between your head and your gut. Then when I spoke to Dave and told him, he was surprised but not shocked, because I guess he had seen me, you know, working in this space for a few years, and it was clearly something I was passionate about. And, you know, that was another milestone. And I eventually got to tell my team, and at least, and you feel like you're being honest with yourself, and now you're being honest with the people that are important to you, and you're starting to feel super positive about it. And then it came to the time when I had to tell my bosses, look, I'm not going to be renewing my contract. And they were like, oh, really? And I'm like, no, this is me, a new adventure, and I'm doing it, and I'm feeling really gung-ho. And then I freaked out. I had a day of, oh my God, what am I doing? I guess in these moments, if you are standing on the precipice of change in your own life, the question is, do you listen to these thoughts and act on them? Are you able to create a little bit of distance between them so that you can step into a place where you're really backing yourself? And that was a bit of advice I got from a good friend who said, look, I know you're worried about all this stuff, and of course you can't know what's going to happen, and maybe it will go tits up, who knows, but back yourself. If you're not going to back yourself, who will?
I'd say my exit from Marconi House is quite different, because I was on parental leave, so I walked out the door by myself. I'd say you were kind of almost brought down the road to a leaving ceremony or something, were you?
Do you know what? We did have a kind of a going away drinks and stuff, but it was the saddest, sort of most pathetic exit. For people who don't know, on my radio show, I did a character called Noni, where I dressed as an old woman and she had a pram, and Noni sold what she called chocolate out of the pram. So, you know, in movies where people are leaving their jobs and they have one small cardboard box with a plant and a photo of a loved one, mm-hmm. you know, and that, and a stapler, and that's it. Well, my exit was pushing my vintage 1960s pram through the office with a black sack of complete rubbish, like essentially the makeup of our dress-up cupboard. And I was pushing the pram through the office and someone just looked up and went, "Oh my God, that looks so sad." So I got the pram into the lift and then pushed it out to my car and loaded it up and I was gone, you know. And, you know, I think in our minds we have these sort of romantic exits where, you know, we walk to the door, turn around in triumph and wave as the ticker tape rains down on us and everyone stands and applauds.
Yeah.
You know, you learn very quickly, life goes on. Even as you're exiting after 21 years, people are still at their laptops, you know, trying to make content for the next bit of the day, you know. So as you push your pathetic vintage pram out with a gammy wheel that squeaked, you know, through the silence. The world keeps turning, and as much as we want the ticker tape parade and the standing ovation for these pivotal moments in our life, we have to provide them for ourselves, you know. That's the backing yourself, you know.
Yes.
Because the world a lot of the time has stuff to be getting on with.
Yeah. And I think the fact that you got there is enough, and it should be enough. So when you're sitting in the or standing in the lift with your buggy going down, like that is an enough of, you should have, like, be so proud of yourself in that moment. You know, the way people speak about like before and afters in their life, and maybe looking on at you, people would say, "Oh, it's be, you know, Dermot, his before and after was what, you know, leaving Dave." And I feel like your before and after happened so much, so many years before that.
Yeah, I think so. You know, going on the meditation journey, for want of a better word, I mean, that definitely set me on a path. You know, life is messier than it's sort of made to appear on the back of a book. It's rarely a straight line. You know, we tend to, things overlap, you know, and we might be on a particular journey and then we stop and we fall off it and things get messy and then we get back on. And around about 2012 for me was kind of the time where real changes started to happen. I'd already started meditating, and I'd a few years before, as I spoke about in the book, I had a panic attack that kind of, you know, put me in an ambulance on the way to a comedy festival. And that was one of those milestones that nudged me in a particular direction. But, you know, these things are rarely instant. You know, you don't just have this moment and then suddenly wake up like a new person. It takes a while, and sometimes we move forward and sometimes we move back. But
sorry to interrupt you. So after your panic attack at the side of the road, which you've spoken about so many times before, it was really bad. Change didn't happen straight away after that.
No, I mean, for instance, that night after the panic attack, I came out of Kilkenny Hospital, went straight into town and did 3 stand-up gigs in a row and used the panic attack for material. I remember I was so unself-aware that I thought this thing is going to make great comedy. Now, in my comedy shows now, I do talk about it and use humor, but I had no concept of what had just happened. I was just like, "Oh, this mysterious thing just happened in my body." And, you know, that was weird. But maybe I can get some jokes out of it, you know, and head it out on the town.
Did you numb yourself with things back then?
Definitely. I mean, I, despite what had happened to my nervous system, I started, you know, I was out drinking that night. You know, I didn't have any sense of self-awareness in terms of what my body was trying to tell me. What was my lifestyle like? You know, what were the implications of my lifestyle and the lack of sleep and the saying yes to all the work? What was the impact of those things? It took me a long time to really be able to, again, I guess, get that ability to step back from your own behaviors and have a look without judgment or criticism and go, okay, what's really happening here? You know, I remember speaking to fellow stand-up comedians that night and saying, "I had a panic attack and I arrived in an ambulance. What's that about?" And I was shocked at the amount of them who went, "Oh yeah, I have them all the time." I was like, "Why is nobody talking about this? This is weird." You know, and I guess, you know, in the mid-noughties, nobody was really still at the back then talking about anxiety, or there was no podcast like this where you can get into it and, you know, dissect it and explore these wonderful topics. You know, I just thought, wow, that was something weird that bodies do sometimes. Maybe it had to do something with the fact that I was hungover and, you know, nervous about the gigs that I was doing. So I don't know, I'll carry on, you know, but I don't think you can go through something like that without it leaving a little vibration that sort of resonates. And over time, then you start to go, okay, maybe this is something to do with stress here. Maybe I could handle this stuff a little bit better.
What was the karaoke bar before or after?
Karaoke bar was after. Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about that.
Another classic incident. Sometimes I go, why did I talk about this stuff on the book? Because it's quite embarrassing. So I was participating in the ancient Irish art of day drinking. And this was, you know, if you ever read Chris Evans' book about his day as a DJ, yeah, his days as a DJ, when he was leaning into the booze and that sort of reckless lifestyle, let's call it, back in his heyday, he was on breakfast radio. So the thing about, you know, breakfast radio is that it's very intense early in the day, but it frees you up in the afternoon. But you're kind of sometimes walking around in the afternoon like a zombie. You know, it's like shift work a lot of the time. So, you know, drinking in the afternoon was usually a no-no because you're so depleted. You know, you tend to go a bit mental. So I remember we went for lunch and we were invited to lunch by a record company back in the days when those things happened. And we had all the, you know, great lunch and drank all the wine. And then we went to a pub. And then anyway, later on in the day, in the evening, I ended up at a karaoke bar. And I remember I was holding a glass of champagne that somebody had handed to me as I went in. How salubrious. And went to go down the stairs. And then next thing I know, I'm waking up on the floor, bleeding from my head because I had stuck the champagne glass in my head as I hit the wall at the bottom, going, what the hell just happened? Now, I was extremely lucky that I didn't break my neck, you know. And then I, you know, had to go to hospital, and then I arrived home and I had a black eye and I had stitches in my head. And, you know, again, this was another step back for me. I was like, okay, what am I doing this for?
It's like the whispers and they keep getting louder and louder.
Yeah. And again, sometimes you get a poke on the shoulder from the universe and sometimes you get a shove down a flight of stairs at a karaoke bar. You know, sometimes the universe isn't very subtle at all. So look, looking back now, I feel so sorry for that me, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, that was someone who was doing his absolute best to provide for his family, you know, was doing a challenging job, putting yourself out there on the radio and on comedy stages into vulnerable positions to, you know, to carve your way and I guess try and use your talents to the best of their ability, in an industry that was, you know, particularly cutthroat. You know, you never know when you're going to get the tap on the shoulder from the boss and say, that was great, but good luck. You know, I see somebody who was really had amazing stamina, amazing endurance, but very little resilience. You know, and I've learned over time that we confuse resilience with endurance. You know, resilience is our ability to bounce back in any moment, whereas endurance is just stamina, your ability to go and go and go until there's nothing left in the tank, you know? Mm. And that's where I was. I didn't really have any of those tools at my disposal that I lean on so heavily these days. You know, I, at that point, hadn't started meditating. Maybe I had tried it once or twice, but I didn't quite see it as something that was going to be weaved into my life to the extent that it was. I didn't really understand the potential benefits of it. So I do feel such great empathy for me at that time, but I was really trying my best from that level of consciousness that I had at that particular time. And sometimes we can, you know, I would have been very embarrassed about that, or I've been really hard on myself after that incident, actually, you know, what the hell was I doing? And sometimes in our life, we do things where we feel like we lost control of ourselves, or we make decisions where we think, what in God's name was I thinking? You know, and we have a choice in that moment to either beat the crap out of ourselves, which I was, you know, prone to doing, or we can have a little empathy for ourselves, you know, and appreciate that we're doing our best in that moment. And I was leaning into alcohol at that time more than I should have been, because that was a stress management tool that I picked up as a youngster from the grown-ups around me. And that's what I was doing. And that's what everybody seemed to be doing, you know? Oh my God, what a mad week. I can't wait to blow off some steam this weekend. That's, you know, a lot of us are in that cycle, and it's not our fault. You know, again, we have to have empathy for ourselves. I'm sure there's people listening to this now who wish they drank less, who maybe wish they didn't drink at all. You know, or maybe you wish you didn't vape, or maybe you wish you weren't so cranky all the time, or maybe you wish you didn't work so much. We all have things that we lean into when we feel stress. And, you know, Dermot, karaoke bar Dermot, was leaning into the things that he felt he could get short-term relief from, you know, from stress with. And, you know, I empathize with him because he was doing his best. It ultimately resulted in me falling down a flight of stairs and nearly killing myself, and waking up with the sound of It's Raining Men being sung by a hen party. And ironically, it was Raining Men, me. I had just rained down this flight of stairs. But, you know, I was doing my best. And I guess, you know, thankfully, over time, I learned some other less potentially painful techniques to help me navigate stress.
Yeah, I loved the evolution of you as a person, because you've definitely told me that story before, but I never heard the forgiving yourself angle of that story, which is so important, because I think there's so many people, we all have these maybe a handful of times that we feel like we have made an absolute show of ourselves. And they're the things that come up for the rest of your life over and over again in your darkest moments, in the middle of the night when you wake up, and your loneliest times. I'm so glad this has came up, because I think for anyone listening today, if there is something that you need to forgive yourself over, like, do it today. And how can people do that today?
The understanding that you were doing your best at that moment from that particular level of consciousness, that's the key. Look, if you have children, you know, do you berate them when they make a bad choice or do something silly or throw a tantrum in the supermarket? You know, we're not going to hold that against them for the rest of their lives. You know, you're not going to be there sitting with them at their 21st birthday going, you know, it's great to be here with your birthday on your birthday, but I don't think I can move on from that tantrum in Supervalue in 2006. No, we're not going to do that. But we do that to ourselves a lot. Yeah. You know, we hold these grudges, you know, and sometimes it's cloaked in this holding ourselves to account, almost like a positive thing. You know, if I keep giving out to myself for that, maybe I won't do it again, you know, or maybe I'll force myself into learning some kind of lesson from it. If I keep pounding myself over, you know, ending that relationship before I should have, staying in that relationship longer than I should have, not leaving my job, saying those awful things to that person when I was drunk, not standing up for myself at that particular time, whatever it happens to be for you that you're beating yourself up over, you know, just as you wouldn't, as I say, hold that grudge against a child, why would you do it to yourself? We are only, it's almost like the software on your phone, you know, you wouldn't hold it against your iPhone 5, you know, for not being able to do all the things that a modern iPhone can now with all this new additional information and software. That's what the phone could do at that particular time. And, you know, me at those times in my life when I was making poor decisions, that was my software. You know, that's what I was running. That was my iOS at that time. So there's no point in me applying the upgrades to old me in an old phone, because they weren't available to me, you know? So I guess just understanding that and rather than seeing it as you now, see it as you then. That was a version of you that just didn't have that information. And how could you give out to them for that?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And there's going to be so many people who really needed to hear that today, and probably me included. There's definitely things that I ruminate on that should be probably left in the past now. And I need to look forward or be here now, which is my favorite affirmation. I was speaking to Dr. Shefali. I don't know if you know Dr. Shefali, on last season, and I asked her her favorite affirmation, and it was "be here now." And I cannot tell you how much it has helped me in so many challenges I've had. I've had, just to be, you know, I know I told you this last week, and I might edit this out, but I've had, you know, 2 cancer scares, and thankfully I'm fine. But in those dark, dark moments where I was freaking out and had anxiety, thought I was going backwards, I kept saying to myself, "Be here now." And that's the magic of meditation and mindfulness, isn't it?
Absolutely. And "Be Here Now" is also the name of a great Oasis album. So it rings on everything.
Yes. Maybe they were onto something.
Yeah. Who knew? They were spiritual leaders even back in the early 90s. Yeah, and you know, mantras can be wonderfully powerful. My favorite one at the moment, and I guess it ties into what we're talking about actually, is every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Mm. You know, and that comes from some Silva mind control methods that I'm mildly obsessed with at the moment. But I guess it's just a reminder that right now I'm doing my best, you know. Every day in every way, I'm getting better and better. I'm opening my mind to growing. I know more today than I did yesterday. Maybe I'll still make mistakes, but you know what? It's okay. This is what growth is about, you know? And it's very hard to think every day in every way I'm getting better and better if you're constantly living in the past in your mind, feeling guilt or shame about something. That doesn't feel like you're getting better and better. You know, that feels like you're stuck. It feels like you're struggling to move past something. So, you know, it's helpful to look back to our past. If I look at those incidences like that panic attack or falling down the steps of the karaoke bar, you know, it's helpful to me sometimes to observe those and reflect on them and go, interesting, you know, that's what I was like back then. What have I learned since then? But I can't live back there. It's okay to visit, but we don't want to live there. You know, it's nice to see where you used to live as a student, but you don't want to move back in, you know? So I guess something like what you're saying, "Be here now," or "every day in every way, I'm getting better and better." It gives us the chance to leave that stuff behind and to come into the present, because the present is all there is, as we know.
Just a short break to thank Yoplait Skyr for supporting the Good Glow this season. I love quality ingredients when it comes to my food, and I love coming up with new recipes in the kitchen. So how did I use Skyr this week? Well, Dermot will probably be happy to hear this. We recently added Buddha bowls into our weekly dinner rotation. We use brown rice or quinoa, avocado, chickpeas, kale, all the good stuff. And our secret ingredient is spicy harissa yogurt dressing on top. This is the perfect addition to a Buddha bowl. And the best thing is you can make it ahead of time and store it in the fridge. Head over to thegoodglow.ie for this week's recipe. And don't forget, you can pick up an 850 gram tub of Skyr Natural across stores nationwide. Tell me then, in the last few months, and I always kind of end with a 5-star moment. Maybe it wasn't in the last few months, but can you remember a 5-star moment, a recent one?
I would have to say a 5-star moment was sitting at the top of Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
Because I really struggled physically, you know, for that last stretch. The last night is really, really tough on that trek. You go to sleep for a few hours in your tent. You're up at 11, you go about 8, you get up at 11 p.m. and you begin your trek up into the night, and you keep going till about 6 o'clock in the morning. And your body generally does not like a lack of oxygen. And, you know, we spoke about mantras. I had a mantra that I used for a solid 5 hours, I would say, as I just made one step after the next. It was, I am fit, I am strong, I am healthy. I am fit. It. And it was an effort to step out of the future, thinking what could go wrong for me, you know, or out of the past of moments of physical weakness where maybe I wasn't at my best. So it was just about staying, be here now. That was what I was using. So the fact that I pushed through those moments of it's so, everybody underestimated how tough it was going to be. And I don't want to make myself out to be a hero, because always remember, as we were struggling, going, oh my God, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. I am fit, I am strong, I am healthy. The porters and guides were singing while walking past us with all our gear on their heads.
Wow.
Anytime I find myself being a Moaney Michael, as Graham Norton put it in Father Ted, I think of those men and women on that mountain who absolutely proved to me that happiness is a state of mind. Not to underestimate the hardship that they have in their daily lives over there in Tanzania, because it's not a wealthy country and there's a lot of things wrong with the way the country is run and the way that resources are shared. But they frame their day in joy and go up and down that mountain hundreds of times a year while carrying people's gear on their head, and they're rushing past you up the mountain so they can set up your camp and cook your food. So anytime I think I hear myself getting moany about the never-ending rain in this country, you know, or feeling a bit cold, or someone leaving the dishwasher door open for the 50th time, or the dog running up the stairs with muddy paws again, I think you're being a Moaney Michael, you know. Think of those beautiful porters and guides who know mental toughness, you know, and who manage to do it all with grace and joy and happiness and kindness, you know. So they taught me a lot. So those people, I guess, maybe are my 5-star moment.
I love it. So your podcast, you're in the podcasting world. Are you enjoying the process?
I am loving it. Yeah. The Mindful podcast has been a project that's been in the back of my mind for a long time. And it was something that I daydreamed about when I felt I didn't have enough time to help educate people, to help reassure people that they're normal and they're not crazy, and all the things that you do on a daily basis, to be able to do that and just be my own boss and talk to people who fascinate me and share what insights I've learned over the years. You know, that is really, really special. And when people listen and give you feedback and go, oh my God, I like that episode and that really resonated with me, and what you said about family dynamics there, that was really, that stuff is great. To circle back to what we said about energy levels at the start, my energy levels have never been so high.
Amazing.
Because my passions are aligned, you know, and you don't have to blow up your life to find fulfillment. Is there something that can offer you some form of fulfillment on a different level? Because when we step into those spaces, our nervous systems go, yay! And sometimes it's enough to lessen the stress and lessen the negative thoughts in our mind and the shoulding thoughts that we have. So is there something small in your life that you can introduce? Doesn't have to be the big dramatic blowing up your job moment, but maybe there is a conversation with a best friend who you haven't made room for in a while. Sometimes it's those moments we need, more of those, that you'll find that when you do step into your stressful job or the stressful relationship or the stressful situation, that stress is lessened because of those other things that we've introduced that aren't so dramatic. They aren't the big aha moment and the going to India and living in an ashram. They were just catching up with the best friend, you know, and tapping into those deeper parts of ourselves through that can really make the difference.
Yeah. And that's forward, right? Because when we were talking earlier about all of these thoughts and stories and forgiving yourself, that can sometimes just take over our minds and keep us in that kind of freeze mode or keep us revolving, going around and around in circles. When you let that stuff go, you have time and space for forward, which is, hey, that person, like, let the people and the experiences in that are going to lift you up and give you joy, and forget about the stuff that's draining you.
Unfortunately, when we are mad busy and wrecked, the things that we know help us, the things that are our natural medicine for our well-being, they're the things that we drop. Sometimes it's allowing in, as you say, those things we know that are our natural de-stressors that actually help us to see everything else through a different lens.
That's lovely. Well, listen, I've taken up enough of your time. I will link your podcast in the show notes, the Mindful Podcast. It's absolutely brilliant. You've had guests like Cillian Murphy, Oscar winner, the two Johnnies, Darren Garrahy. Like, it's so good. Congratulations. I'm so thrilled for you. And I listen all the time and I love it. So best of luck. And actually, do you know what I was going to say before? I didn't want to interrupt you at the time. But when you were talking about the buggy in the office, I thought you were going to say that they wheeled you out in the buggy.
Thankfully, I didn't quite get the triumphant chariot ride out in my vintage pram that maybe I deserved. But actually, Georgie, you're right. Maybe they should have given that to me as I waved like a Roman emperor while flinging bars of chocolate out at everybody.
Like the end of the 40-year-old virgin, you know, when they're all dancing down the road. But that you deserved that moment. But, you know, I'm sad you didn't get it.
I don't think the pram would have supported me anyway. I think the wheels were far too wonky at that time.
Thank you so much, Dermot, and best of luck. And I'll see you really soon.
Thanks, Georgie. Loved it.
A huge thank you to Dermot for coming onto the Good Glow today. And as I said, I've linked his podcast in the episode show notes, along with a link to our run club. Yes, the Good Glow Run Club is up and running. Excuse the pun. And we are absolutely loving it. So if you want to get involved, you can run an easy 3Z with us or a high five. I've left the details in the show notes, and I've also left a link to our Chicago half marathon and 5 kilometer trip in September.